into it.
I'm into it as well. Mm-hmm. I like hot people. What can I say?
I also enjoy hot people.
Yeah. So I like their antics.
You're listening to We Explain Movies.
Hi, it's our normal podcast. Welcome back.
Welcome to us being normal. We were definitely not talking about trauma.
Yeah, we definitely weren't spending the last, what does that say?
9 minutes and 52 seconds.
Almost 10 minutes talking about stuff that you won't get to hear.
Or no, making really dark jokes.
Making really dark jokes. I'll probably throw back in what Kimmy said about Jessica Chastain.
Please do.
You're welcome. Here, insert.
Insert.
May I start this podcast by saying that it is my desire to become Jessica Chastain's left arm at the Venice Film Festival.
Is that the one that Oscar Isaac touched?
Kissed?
Okay. He kissed her on the mouth, dude.
He kissed her on the mouth?
Are you kidding? That's not what you were texting us about?
No, I'm talking about the one where she has his arm
draped. When you said it, I thought, I wasn't sure if they had kissed on the mouth, but in my head I was like, I wonder if there's a miscommunication.
I guess there was.
Kimmy, they kissed on the mouth.
Oh, give it to me. Give it to me.
And we start now.
Hi, welcome back.
This is our wrap episode.
Yes, wrap.
It's the wrap episode. This round, a lot of things were explained. Half of them will be rehashed.
About.
So we started off the round with myself, Courtney, explaining alongside our nephew, Jordan, our guest star, Vivarium, and then Kimmy and I explained
A Little Princess.
And then you and I, because I went hard at the beginning of the round, I explained
Summer of 84.
Love it.
Kayleen and Kimmy explained Attack the Block.
Yes. Reality Bites.
And then me and Nick explained I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Cool.
Yeah.
Three of those will be touched upon within this hour. But first, a game.
That's apparently popular on the internet.
It is popular on the internet.
On Tickety Talk.
It's quite funny.
We are armed with pens and craft paper, and we are going to be playing a game that we have seen on the internet, wherein one person says the name of a movie, and we all try to pick the same quote.
Mm-hmm.
You know the drill. The movie, for example, could be Atonement.
And we'd all say the scene where he fucks her.
No, you would say a line from it, and so we would all say, Brian A!
Oh, that's not the line I would say.
What's the line you would say?
Come back to me.
It's all about Saoirse.
I haven't even finished that movie, so I literally don't know any
lines. Actually, honestly, the line that plays in my head from the movie most...
I saw them.
That one? No, it's the one at the very end when she's super old and she goes, I gave them the happiness.
No. Interesting that we have that many lines from Atonement.
Yeah. Anyway, so you get how the game works. We're really good at it.
Yeah, we're going to try. But also, basically, the real game...
Let's just be like a complete failure.
None of them.
I'm not worried about it.
We don't know each other at all.
We've failed many a time before. The game, I think, is one person says it. It's just not going to work for a podcast or sound quality and all that. So we're writing it down. You go first, Kayleen. What's the movie?
First one up. Promising Young Woman.
Ooh. Okay. Promising Young Woman quotes.
You guys are already writing?
I'm trying to pick like a Kayleen appropriate quote.
Yeah, something that you would pick.
Okay. Kayleen, count us down.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
Oh!
Oh, no!
Fine. Okay,
that's Kayleen. Almost right.
Yeah, I think you two win.
I think that counts,
Kayleen,
though.
What did you say?
I said, what are you doing?
Kimmy?
I wrote, hey, what are you doing?
And I mean, I should have put that, but instead I said, but I'm not doing anything.
Which
answers your question. It answers your question.
That is maybe my favorite line. That line's very funny.
I thought you liked that line a lot, yeah. Sweet. Okay, Kimmy, your turn.
Step Brothers.
Ooh, I'm about to lose.
Okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
Step Brothers, Kimmy, count us down.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no, they're all so different.
They're all so different.
Wait, what did you put?
That joke was so funny last time I heard it, I almost fell off my dinosaur.
I don't know how you thought we would get that, but I
think
that
was the best fucking line.
I mean, that's a funny line. As is mine. I wrote, did you touch my drum set?
I wrote, did we just become best friends?
Probably the more iconic one of the movie.
Damn it.
Okay, I really want y'all to get this one.
Okay,
I am doing Titanic.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I thought about doing this one, but I thought there were too many lines.
There are.
Okay, I'm ready, though.
Yes. Okay, Titanic in 3, 2, 1.
No. That's fucking good, Courtney.
That's
really funny.
I'm a child.
I wrote, "You're so stupid, Rose."
I wrote, "I want you to draw me wearing this."
Only this.
Oh, that's funny.
Honestly, "You're so stupid, Rose." More my favorite, but this is just so fun to
that
say.
That one is really funny.
My child!
I have a child!
Okay, sweet. Kayleen's turn.
Okay, this one's funny, and I'm going to be kind of mad if you don't get it, okay? 3 billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Okay. I feel confident.
Cool. I feel pretty confident.
Okay, cool.
Ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Yes! Yes!
Oh, I said the wrong fucking word.
It's close enough.
No, it's not.
Yeah, she's like dickhead.
Oh, dickhead. Okay. All right, ready on 3, 1, 2, 3.
No, don't say what dick said. She's coming here calling you a fuckhead.
It's fuckhead, not dickhead.
It's okay.
It still counts.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Okay, I'm done with that piece of paper.
All right, Kimmy Stern.
Twilight, the first one.
Okay.
I hope you're going where I'm going. Based on how you're laughing, I'm really hoping I got this right.
I'm just going based off of Kayleen.
I don't think either of you guys got what I put in. I'm reading this off.
Okay, I'm rooting for me and Kayleen.
Yeah, right? Are we getting points? Yeah, do we get points if we get each other's, but it wasn't one Kimmy was thinking of?
I doubt it. All right, Kimmy, count us down.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, Kayleen and I did get the same one, but I like what Kimmy
chose. I like this too. Yeah.
Kimmy picked. I go, Carlisle. Carlisle.
Oh, you guys got the same one.
It's really?
It's okay. Kayleen and I both wrote,
as if you could outrun me.
Did you guys believe just like how iconic those movies became?
They're amazing.
So fucking funny.
They're amazing.
Oh, that's great.
Oh man.
Because I want to see what Kayleen would pick, I guess. Oh. And I know you know this movie really well, too. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, God. See, I have one I like, but I don't think you guys will put it. I'm just going to go for it.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, yeah! Shit!
Sweet! We all got it.
That was really the first surprised.
Time. Sweet. I mean, I really just stole that one from you.
Sick.
Yes, the line is, and then they made me their chief.
I also just like this because people listening are going to be like, why is that? I would never, but like we talk never. About these things so yeah. much.
Yes.
That's great.
All right. Kayleen's turn. Final turn?
Yeah.
I could do this all night.
This is really fun. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Oh, okay.
No.
No. You know what it is.
Oh my Tell God. Me when I should stop.
Tell me when I should stop. Does Daniel want to play this round?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
What'd you put? Oh,
we all put the same
scene.
It's just not the same. I began with, no, Ron, no, what is it?
I wrote, he's going to sacrifice himself.
No, you can't.
What's in between?
There must be another way.
He's going to sacrifice himself. Not me.
Not Hermione.
You. Good stuff.
Good stuff indeed.
Good. Okay.
Kimmy Stern.
Easy A.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, shit.
That's a great one. But we're all going to be on such different pages.
I know, that's what I feel. But I'm also like, because I'm like, which line do I even like?
Yeah.
There's no way that you guys are putting this, but that exactly. is fine.
Yeah, I just thought of what came to my mind now. Do I like that one?
It's what I like.
Okay.
This one's all for me.
I wrote down 2, I don't know what to go with.
Oh my God.
All right, can we go?
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, you both picked parent lines.
Yeah, that's funny.
I'm adopted. What? Who told you?
I wrote the emotional part of the film. I kind of hate me too.
That's so sad. And I wrote what arguably isn't even a quote. It's them going
tallywhacker. I didn't think you guys would care about Woodchuck Todd. I was concerned. That was a good one though, Kimmy. Mm-hmm. All right, I watched it today, so let's see what comes of it. Endgame.
Oh, God, all right. Which one's Courtney gonna pick? Which one's Courtney gonna pick?
I'm going a bit off the beaten path.
Oh, well, God damn it. That's not what I'm in the middle of writing.
I know. Should I change it to be something more, like, substantial and...
I'm trying to match.
I'm trying to go with what is in my heart, so...
I'm going to also write in the corner what my guess is for Courtney's.
Okay. I'm going to do that for you. Avengers Endgame. 3, 2, 1.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Jimmy's is sexual.
Okay.
So the one I wrote down is Thor saying, of course.
That's so funny.
Of course.
What was the one you wrote for me?
I Love You 3000.
Oh, that's cute.
I didn't know if that was the more, like, iconic one to go for, but that's love a both of you.
That's a good guess.
Yeah.
I wrote, hi, Peter Parker. Got something for me?
That's exactly. So sexual.
Hey, Peter Parker.
I put Avengers, assemble. And then I thought Courtney's would revolve around Wanda, so I put, you will.
That was our game.
That was fun.
That was our game. I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
On to the movies.
On to the movies.
I think Kayleen gets to start.
It is. I watched this a bit ago. I watched Vivarium.
Oh,
you did?
Oh, I didn't.
Okay. Sweet. So you have some notes too?
A little bit.
Cool. Oh, God. Why did I write so many notes? I'm going to forget what they all mean. My first note says I don't like birds being mean to each other.
Yeah, honestly, that opening...
When one bird kicks at the other bird.
Really sad.
That opening sequence was fucking brutal.
Yeah. Honestly, nature upsets me. I really don't like it.
That's how they do it? Like, wow.
In the beginning of the movie, Jesse Eisenberg digs the grave for the bird, and I was like, foreshadowing to when he's going to dig his own grave later.
The movie's very kind of, like, obvious once you know the ending. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, you're doing that.
I was like, I see what's going on here.
If you watched it back, you know, it's as if we watched it once already. So I'm like, if we watched it the second time,
that's
what
these
notice?
Trippy movies are good for.
They are.
And
for taking notes from my end.
But I noticed that on the company that builds Yonder is called Prospect Properties. Mm-hmm. And they have a symbol of a house intersecting with another house coming from the bottom in kind of a diagonal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the chimneys are kind of like diagonal apart from each other. Yeah. I didn't see the part where she goes under all the houses or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, you know what? That was interesting to me.
Is cool. Mm-hmm. The theme song is disgusting, just as in it makes me feel very unsettled.
What theme song?
Like the Vivarium song that they play over and over. It's like the melodic song that they play a lot.
Are you talking about a score?
Yeah, the score.
Okay.
It's not a theme song.
I thought you were talking about a commercial or something.
Oh, I did write a note about the music, but I didn't notice that there was some kind of theme song. Maybe I didn't
have it
loud
enough.
They
kept, like, repeating similar chords, and I was like, ugh.
What I did notice is, like, the lack of, like, maybe a dynamic score, like, on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just felt like the soundscape of the film, like, achieved what it was going for. It's very looming and ominous, and it's almost, like, atmospheric, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Than anything else, and which kind of, like, gave me the feeling of, like, a slow burn. This movie was way more, like, slow burn. You know those movies that, like, try and make you feel the same way that the characters are feeling.
Yeah.
So if they're fucking bored as fuck, you're fucking bored as fuck. Kind of like that.
Yeah.
Another thing I noticed is that when Martin is showing them around the house in Yonder, they get into the kid's room and he glaringly looks at her stomach.
Ew.
And then looks back up at her. Ew. And that just gave me the icks. And I thought that was really clever.
I thought it was strange that when they come to the neighborhood for the first time, they weren't immediately like, why is there not one goddamn car in this place?
Yeah.
I was like, this place looks so sus from the very beginning, and they're just like, it's fine. I thought this was interesting, and I was curious what would have happened if they accepted. He offers them champagne and strawberries, but nothing there has flavor. So wouldn't that have been, like, a red flag? Like, why would you offer them something that's going to tip them off that something's fucking weird?
Oh, I love that. I wonder if it was one last hurrah.
Yeah.
Like, this is your last indulgence
this
in
normal life.
This is
the last thing that'll taste. Yeah.
I also wonder, like, I kind of joked around about this during the episode, but now I'm 100% gung-ho about this idea. It's fucking aliens. It's aliens.
What?
It's definitely aliens.
Okay.
I know that there's, like, metaphorical themes, you know, what have you, but in a literal sense, it's aliens. Okay, guys? And
I mean, there's no reason that kid should be able to fucking be a bird.
Yeah.
Or grow that fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like maybe if they're, like, in some kind of sim, you know what I mean? Maybe it doesn't start until Martin leaves. Because he kind of, like, is, like, trying to get out of there quickly.
Right.
You know?
He dips on them real quick. I really like the part when they're trying to get out and they're cutting through everyone's yards because it's like, sometimes in horror films, people are still being so fucking polite or, like, not doing things you would do if you thought you were in a dire situation. And so the fact that they were like, no, we're going to trespass on everyone's property because something's up. I thought that was a cool choice. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, do whatever gets you there fastest.
I had a point to make about the boy's voice. I was under the impression that it would be the boy's voice with a filter over it in some kind of, like, demonic thing. But it's very clearly a dubbing of somebody's voice. I was like, who's doing the voice? Mm-hmm. You know, for a second I was like, is it a mix of...
There's still definitely a filter, though.
What I thought it was a mix of Imogen Poots and Jesse Eisenberg's voices together saying the same words and them cranking some knob to go back and forth between their voices.
Ew.
That'd be cool.
But it was not. I mean, it very well could
be. That would have been sick, honestly.
Yeah. This is what I found out. In creating the odd character of the boy and hinting at his mysterious nature, Finnegan, who made the film, found a lot of it came from Senan Jennings, the actor portraying the younger iteration of the character who was actually cast prior to the similar natured Martin portrayed by Jonathan Aris, whose voice was dubbed over for Jennings. So the older Martin, played by Jonathan Aris, is the person who dubbed over his voice for the child.
Yeah. So it's still technically Martin's voice.
Yeah, but like out of body and like too mature in a way and like...
And still, they altered something, his voice.
Yeah.
That's not a real person talking.
Yeah.
I know that we talked a lot about like Jesse Eisenberg's acting and stuff and also how it's not really his type. I agree with that, but he was still so condescending. Like he still slipped into the like... I'm going to be Jesse Eisenberg.
And it's because you hate him.
Honestly, I feel really bad because for some reason I accidentally caught that interview where he totally, like, demolishes the interviewer.
We all know that interview.
Yeah. I know. I just, like, recently watched it right before turning this movie on. So that was, like, in my mind. And I was like, are you cool?
Kayleen showed me that interview and I've hated her every day since.
I will say, I did love their chemistry during the car dance scene.
Yeah.
I thought that was sweet.
Yeah. And just, like, their little banter before shit hits the fan. I was like, oh, you're a nice couple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Minor thing I wanted to point out, just, like, going off of the nuclear family metaphor, is that the digging becomes, like, the nuclear job of the suburban charade. Mm-hmm. I feel like. Like, she even goes, like, it really struck me when they're, like, at the table or whatever, and she goes, are you going to dig today? How in the 50s or something, like, are you going to work today?
Mm-hmm. Especially at breakfast time, like, at the table, you fed him.
What do you talk about?
He's off to his
thing. Oh, off to work when he gets home? Yeah. Oh, how was work?
Yeah. Also, there's no obligation for him to be digging, but he has to go and do it for some reason, and it's like this nuclear charade taking over. I don't know. That was interesting.
That actually kind of leads into my next note because I feel like, I'm pretty sure I wrote this note about one of the times when he's like, no, I have to go dig. It made me so sad. There was this one time where, I forget what it was exactly, but she's like trying to get him to have fun because like, we're fucking stuck here. What are we going to do? And mm-hmm. she's trying to get him to do something and he's like, I can't. And it's just, that's got to be so much lonelier that not only are you trapped in this, like, hell on earth, mm-hmm. but the one person who could maybe make it better is behaving this way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, then I guess I'll go fuck myself because, like, I'm not going to bond with the boy.
So. I wonder if I don't know what was going through Lorcan Finnegan's head when he wrote and directed this, but, like, I wonder what degree of necessity there is in terms of, is he poisoned to do this? Is he falling victim to yonder, and that is what he feels he has to do, rather than an escapism thing? Like, he's trying to escape, but maybe he's didn't realize he fell victim to, you have to dig. You have to dig your grave.
From my perspective, I definitely felt like there was some kind of compulsion over him to do it. And I don't know if that was the truth or not, but that's what I felt like.
Well, yeah, because as a viewer, you would think it's a normal person trying to get out of this situation, but really, in terms of yonder, it's... I made you do that. Yeah, I'm not going to dig your grave for you. You have to do it yourself.
Do you, like, it's kind of like, I just had so many thoughts at once, but it just made me think of, like, when people tell themselves a lie so much that at one point they believe it, it kind of felt like that. Like, at first it started with, maybe this is how we get out. And it's like, at some point, you have to believe that deep down he knows it's not fucking doing anything, but there's that part of him that has convinced himself it will.
Okay. To the point where I think it's about aliens.
Okay.
Little Martin goes and gets a fucking manual. I don't remember us talking about this in the episode.
We did?
Yeah. A manual that shows what he's supposed to do with fucking alien writing in it and shit like that.
And he watches his favorite alien TV show.
It's a manual. It's a manual about, like, how he's supposed to fucking...
I guess. I think I agree with that entirely. I just am like, but it's all taking place on Earth. Yonder's on Earth. They're getting Earth civilians constantly. Like, maybe aliens could exist on Earth. And they're not aliens. They're just something sinister.
Yeah.
That's all, like, some that's type of evil.
Yeah. They're just something evil. It doesn't have to be from space and we're trying to learn about you. Because I feel like if aliens are on Earth, they're trying to infiltrate or learn. And I just feel like this is just something dumb and evil that's here.
That brings me to a question. What is their mission?
Yeah.
You know, what is the Martin's mission? Martin's? Martians.
Martians. Whoa.
Touché, bitch.
Wow, like, make a good point to that.
Like, what's their goal? They grow up, they get another couple, they raise the kid, they grow up, they get another, you know what I mean?
Well, I think they can't be stopped. I think it's that Martins exist no matter what, and they need something to care for them. Kind of like birds, and that's the whole metaphor, is that this certain type of bird is a brood parasite, and they need something else to care for it.
Yeah.
So the whole bird thing?
It kind of makes me, like, feel in a way that the person who made it was just like watching some birds one day and was like, wouldn't that be fucking crazy if humans acted that way?
Yeah. You know what? I wouldn't doubt it if that's part of it. Also, procreating for animals isn't a choice like it is for humans.
Mm.
It's not. Know? Exactly. It's a necessity to, it's an instinct.
Yeah.
And so that's why I don't feel like they're aliens. I feel like they're just animalistic.
Yeah.
Because we have this bird metaphor at the beginning. And I think it would fit much more if we saw where Martins came from, if it was something to do with procreation, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mess. The movie's metaphor is very murky, whether it's aliens or animals. I don't know. It's very clearly there, though, and I just don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. We have to decipher that, and that's what the point of this podcast is. Yeah.
That point where he's watching his cartoons and she keeps turning it off and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you can't do that. And I just thought it was interesting. Because, like, I started thinking about it just in metaphors. And I was like, it's kind of... Just a lot of this stuff, it's like, when you look at it in a literal sense, it's like, oh, this is kind of silly. It's just part of the movie. It's part of the creepiness. And then when you look at it, like, on a kind of, like, a larger scale, it totally mimics things we do. And I was like, it's the same thing of, like, how a mom might be like, okay, to a child, like, after dinner, no cartoons, we gotta get ready for bed. And it's like, in this situation, it's a little bit different, but it's kind of the same thing of, like, moms tell you not to do things, and kids want to do those things. And he throws a fit.
Exactly. The whole thing comes down to a metaphor of, like, why do beings live through the cyclical nature of, oh, I must find a mate, I must procreate, I must, like, keep that procreation alive, which is why we tell our kids not to watch cartoons and stuff. Like, oh, it's going to rot your brain. I need to further you so you can get a mate, so you can further this life cycle. That's kind of just what it all comes down to. And maybe aliens would do that as well, but I just feel like that's just kind of what it feels like.
The real horror is life itself.
Yeah. Oh.
Hi, Kiki.
I came to drink your water and wine.
I have one more note left, and it says, goiter part. What the fuck? That part was...
It's so gross.
It was so gross.
I can hear the sound right now.
It's like not as bad as I thought that it would be, but also so much worse.
Interesting. I thought I described it pretty grotesquely. I was like, they're going to think it's lame.
No. And also just the way that he preps for it and hunches over. I'm like, dude, stop getting so into it.
Yeah. It was just like, it was like so out of left field, I felt like. Mm. And then I was like, aliens. Yeah, aliens. Like, what is that, you know? Do birds have something like that?
Yeah.
They do?
They do. Wow. They just have that ability.
I don't know if I like how literal this bird metaphor
is. It's very literal.
You know what I mean?
Well, you would rather it be something like aliens.
I think I would.
It's just bird.
I think bird people. Just, and just because I'm at the end of my notes now, I guess I'm just, you know, I'm finished in saying... I enjoyed watching the movie because it was so unique.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was pretty bleak to oh, get yeah. on board with, yeah. and so there's not a major rewatchability no. factor at all.
Not for me.
Not really much of an enjoyment factor either, and I'm sure that that was the point of the film.
Yeah.
It was very much like a piece of art.
Yeah. It's, you know? It feels perfect for exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
I may never look at it again.
Which is yeah. what I told Jordan. I was like, this is so explainable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to love this movie. You don't have to tell Not everyone under the sun to watch it. Yeah. You just have to explain it.
Yeah. yeah. And it is cool to just have some films just be art. Like, this guy was like, go talk about my film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last note that I wrote is just that it was two dead birds in the beginning, just like Tom and Jenna.
Yep.
Yeah, just definitely, like she said, not rewatchable. Not something I would watch for enjoyment. It's something I watch to be like, ah, yes, I've properly dissected it. A plus for me.
It's a movie you come across. I don't even think I would recommend this movie to other people. It's like, if it comes to you in your life, then so it shall be. You know?
Then it was meant to be.
I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the rewatch for notes, and this discussion was banging, y'all, like, we really dissected yeah. the yeah, shit out of this.
This went on a lot longer than I thought it would.
This reminds me of when we got really into Junebug.
Well, yeah. My last closing thoughts were going to be like, so, Jordan, if it's any, like, feather in your cap, I don't know what you have to say about Summer 84, but I know what I have to say if I know what you did last summer, so this is already the longest portion of our podcast.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't know if you have a lot to say.
I don't have a lot to say because yeah. I just watched the movie for fun and didn't take notes
exactly.
while I was watching
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So yeah. this was a nice discussion point to have with my two besties in conjunction with our besties of the podcast.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's great.
Totally. Yes.
Yeah. Yay.
Summer of...
84. 84?
You got it.
Okay. Yeah, I just watched this just to watch it. I didn't take any notes, which I'm sad about, so I'll try to remember some of the stuff that I wanted to say. Really loved it.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I don't know what it says about me, but I loved all the dick jokes.
So, interesting. I thought it's a lot, Kimmy.
I thought it was so funny.
Really?
It just, like, kept going and kept doing it. I thought it was
insistent.
I thought it was hilarious.
That's
like,
funny.
I loved all the kids, and I love how we talked about that their backstories are not really talked about.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. subtle.
But I also wish they would have utilized them more as actors. Like, I would have loved to see him act more, like, you know, in... Mm. I loved him as an actor, and I wanted to see more of him, and he was kind of a side character, and
yeah.
so that's
sad. Yeah.
I love the over-the-head cul-de-sac shot that is at the beginning, and they're coming from one way of the street, and at the end, when they're, like, searching for him, they're coming on the other side of the street, and it's the same shot.
That's
I
cool.
love that. Love shit like that. Love yeah. it, love it, love it. And lastly...
this is how my... Yeah. I don't know what you did last summer.
I watched
and lastly, I love the serial killer. Killing's cool, guys.
I watched it with my sister, and
she
actually pointed it out to me, and I was like, oh, yeah, you're fucking right. There's, like, this major tonal shift. The colors were different. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't look like an 80s movie. The fun 80s kind of scare your kids movie anymore.
Yeah.
It was like, this is some dark shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa. My sister said that. She's like, this is, like, we're watching, like, a totally different movie right now. And I just thought that, like, you know, that director went there. And
yeah.
I really respect that. And
yeah.
I
true.
Really enjoy that aspect
I do as
of
well.
It.
I really like the movie for its third act and just going for it. It's very kid detective.
I do think that's the strongest act for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I would say all the problems I have with the movie are before that. And, like, that, I do think that is, yeah, it's like we don't really see that.
Yeah.
And just the way he gets up in his face, you're like, okay, my God.
Great casting, because
yeah.
it is so scary to see those, like, kind-faced men.
Who look trustworthy.
Yeah, he looks totally trustworthy. There's something, like, cherubic about his face. Yeah, but, like, and then he just goes full-blown other side
yeah.
and, like, dark side. He's fucking terrifying and horrible.
But believable.
Very believable.
Yeah.
Like, go that actor, honestly. Like,
I love him. He's good stuff.
Yeah.
yeah.
And that's, you know, unfortunately, all I remember that I had to say about
I'm
it.
I'm surprised you remember such specifics, to be honest.
Yeah.
You watched that ages ago.
Yeah, I did. It was a long time ago.
All right. Are we ready to, like, let's put it on timer. I bet mine will be even shorter.
Oh, my God.
Here's Courtney talking about I Still Know What You Did Last Summer but we're recording on my phone, so I can't even look at my notes. I have to look at them on my watch.
Oh,
like
no.
Like an idiot. There we go.
That's nice you can.
It's very small. My first note. I absolutely love, like, it might be one of my favorite aspects. The aspect of doing episodes on horror movies is one of my favorite things about the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun. Yeah. There is just a degree of silliness, anticipation, suspense. We all have so much to say, predictions. And so I just want to shout out this episode for being one of the funniest things we've ever done. It was a highlight to do.
I keep thinking about Barla, honestly.
I don't even know if the listeners can hear me say that.
Really?
Because we were laughing, but there was a delay. It just threw me right back to something like our La Llorona episode.
Yeah.
The La Llorona episode.
It slaps. And and it was really nice to have, just to see, like, 75 episodes later, we still have that kind of magic in our episodes. It really made me happy. My overall thought on the movie, though, is that it's not stupid enough. It's not La Llorona enough.
Yeah.
It's boring.
Whoa.
Because I was watching it, and I was like, this isn't really doing it for me. This isn't doing anything wild. This is exactly what they said it would be, but the characters are playing it straight, and so it just felt kind of like it was going nowhere.
That's what I was saying. Like, the first one has some camp to it where you're like, ha, but the second one, they're taking it way too literally.
I mean, I believe you, but also I remember nothing about the first one. Oh. Scream has camp to me, and Scream is phenomenal, mm-hmm. whereas I know what you did last summer, and I still know what you did last summer. I'm just kind of like, all right, just don't really care.
When we watched I Know What You Did Last Summer, both Xavier and Dakota were like, oh, I think I've seen this movie because of the part where the guy gets murdered. And I was like, you guys are thinking of scary movies.
Back to my notes, because I will get there. Okay, something related to scary movie. That's literally my next note, Kayleen. Freddie Prinze Jr. does not know how to run.
Oh.
You're right.
He runs so stupid that it reminded me of Scary Movie when they have Cindy, who's played by Anna Faris, run.
Huh.
And I was like, is that a reference? Are Maybe. They making fun? I don't think it is, though. Oh. I think the joke was that she runs, quote, like a girl, because that was the big joke in the 90s. And then I go and I watch this, and I'm like, Freddie Prinze Jr. runs even worse.
What does he do? Does he flail?
He's like, what?
Yeah, he's literally, like, all arms.
Like, he's, like, making a Y with his arms, like a goalpost, and he's flailing. And I was like, is this a joke? That's how she runs in Scary Movie.
That's really funny.
And I was like, is this meant to be funny? It can't be, because meanwhile, John Hawks is being murdered.
Yeah.
So it was really bad. There was this really funny transition from when they win the contest on the radio to go to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. They're, like, going on vacation, and a Jennifer Love Hewitt song starts playing. And
what?
It's so loud.
I didn't know that.
And I knew it instantly. I don't know the song, but I was like, is that Jennifer Love Hewitt? And I listened to the lyrics, and I Googled them, and it was, like, a song by Jennifer Love Hewitt.
That's hilarious.
Anyways, I have, like, one more minute until I pass Kimmy's time. My second to last note, it was fine. My last note, Brandy deserves the world.
Aww.
Yes.
She's a queen.
I love that.
Okay. Join us for yet another round 12, kicking it off with Courtney and Dora.
You know her.
To Dora and the lost city of gold. Catch us then.